sorry.
Hi, this is Suncom.
Hi, my name is Duel. I was wondering if I could speak to Mr. Jacobs, please.
About what, sir?
About the lawsuits regarding the MediaMax research.
Heard that has been dropped.
They have been.
Yeah, it was dropped about 9 o'clock this morning.
Really? If I may, I'm with Arizona 2600. We're a hacker group that meets here in Phoenix. And I was wondering if anybody might be interested to talk, come to a meeting and present and talk about how hackers and researchers can work together with companies and what we can do so we can coincide peacefully.
Oh, okay. Wow. You'd be the first one that has said that. Sir, can you hold on for just a moment?
Sure.
Thank you. Sir, I'm sorry. Can I get your name and company again? I'm sorry.
Sure. My name is Duel, and I'm with Arizona 2600. We meet at the Borders on 24th Street in Kalmbach. We've actually had...
Cool.
Yeah, we had somebody present... we do professional presentations. We have professionals come and present to us, and we would love some open discussions about issues like that. I know you're right on 44th Street, so I don't think it'd be that difficult to...
Not a problem. I might be blind or deaf today, but I'm totally not getting your name right. Is it Duel or...
Yeah, D-U-A-L.
D-U-A-L. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry about that, Duel. And you're from the Arizona Hackers Club?
Yeah, it's Arizona 2600. And our website is dc602.org.
No caps, unlimited long distance.
And it will never end, as far as you know?
No, it will never end. It will never
DJ
end.
Mullet.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
Are giving your permission to change your long distance provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
You're giving your permission to change your local long distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
I took Quest Unlimited plan at $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state to state, in state, and if selected local toll voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
Thank you for calling Sears. I'm sorry, the number you have dialed is currently a non-working number.
Duel. I'm joined by Bland. What is up, Bland?
Somebody's looking at some Asian pornography.
Yes! Thanks to me.
Absolutely. Duel and I, we're actually, the listeners might not know this, Duel and I are actually porn buddies.
What does that mean, by the way, before I agree to that?
We have a show on each other's box, and in the event of our death, the other is supposed to, you know, like if Duel dies, it is my sworn duty to SSH into his box and delete all of his pornography before his parents or his wife or the preacher or whoever comes in and sees, you know, all the sick and twisted Asian stuff he has in his box. And there's also Duel's sworn duty to me as well.
Yes, and no matter what, my friend, I will carry that duty out.
Absolutely.
Till the end. Now, we have a last-minute special guest host. Yes, we do. And it's Hack and Slash. What's up, Hack and Slash?
Nothing much, man. Chilling in my chair and reviewing Slack 9.1.
You're kidding me. We are going to talk a lot of Linux on this show, including Slack 9.1. We're also going to have Duels Wi-Fi Nuggets. And no, that doesn't mean that I'm surfing porn at a public hotspot. I've got some tips for you, some Wi-Fi on Linux tips. We've got some freak news. And we also have a book review. Dude, this is a full show. You know what? This show, you know, I know, you know, everyone had to wait a little bit for it, but it's going to be so jam-packed. It's going to be so meaty and juicy. It'll be unbelievable. It'll be bukkake all over yourself, you know? That's what it is. Is that swearing? Can I say bukkake?
Because if you know what that means, you're sick and twisted to begin with.
Oh, God. Why is that? Oh, never mind. Let's just drop that right now. Did I already say we have a book review? We've got a book review from Bland. That's right, Bland's book review. I really want this book bad. It's a really good book. I've checked it out. And then finally, Bland's got a dilemma. And we as a community, must reach out and touch Bland, or help him at least.
Yes, please.
We have to help him with that dilemma, and that'll be the end of the show. Maybe we'll talk. I might have a Linux game review at the end. We'll see. I might save it. Maybe we'll do like a whole. You know what? I've always wanted to do a Linux gaming show and getting a. I want to get this guy, Josh, on, right? Who just knows his shit in and out. And talk about Linux gaming. He's, you know, a big advocate of Linux gaming, you know, native Linux gaming, no emulation. Well, Wine, I'm sorry, that's not an emulator, but whatever. And I'd still like to do that. I've been doing a lot more Linux gaming. You know, people have been inspiring me, and, I might have enough for a full show, so we'll see about that. We'll see about the end of the show. If you heard the beginning of the show, and I hope you did, if you downloaded it, I know you did, you heard me call Suncom. Suncom, a company in Phoenix, Arizona, created the MediaMax CD3 copy prevention system. Well, I'm sure if you've read Slashdot, you've probably read about the Princeton graduate student who wrote a paper, the analysis of the MediaMax CD3 copy prevention system. Good paper. The copy prevention system is really non-existent. Okay, anybody listening to this show, I guarantee you, can do anything they want with that CD. And what was it? It wasn't. What was the CD? I don't remember. Something I've never heard of. So, he wrote a paper. And then they got pissed off. Actually, I believe their stock, Suncom's stock, dropped like 20%, something like that. It just, you know, plummeted essentially to like 12, 13 cents a share. They were mad. As you know, I think it would be understandable. And then word came out that they were going to sue this poor Princeton graduate student. Well, they backed off, as you heard. They backed off Friday about 9 a.m. Regardless, I wanted to have some open dialogue. You know, I go to the AZ2600 meetings, or the DC602 meetings, if you will. And I wanted some open dialogue with these people, and I'm hoping to get, if not Mr. Peter Jacobs, the CEO, somebody, representative, to come to the meetings and talk about digital rights management, protecting copyrights, and how, you know, companies like that, right, copyright owners and companies who work for them can coexist with, you know, hackers, security researchers, and people who like fair use. Okay? I'm all about fair use. So, see, because we're going to have to coincide, right? The record companies are going to have to innovate. They're going to have to move with technology. And they can't go and continue to abuse fair rights, fair use rights like they have been. And we're going to have to work together, I guarantee you. We can't have people stifling research. In fact, I think there was a quote from Mr. Mr. Robert? Jacobs, Mr. Jacobs. That he did not want to be the man who would put, you know, who would have such a chilling effect on research. And that was very wise of him, very wise of him. I think that, honestly, I think they had a really, had some really bad backlash from that. That's what I think would happen. I think they got lots of phone calls and emails, and they were inundated by people who did not hold the same view as them, that that this Princeton grad student was, you know, violating the DMCA. Have you guys read about that at all?
Yeah, I read the overview of it. I just read that he held down shift or something like that, and just completely bones this entire copyright protection scheme.
Yeah, you get rid of Auto Run in Windows, and it works. You know, if you use Linux or an old Mac OS, it's non-existent. And then he also talked about how to remove, I guess it's some type of system driver, remove that driver and still use it anyway, still use the CD any way you want. I'm looking for the... I feel terrible not giving the gentleman's name who put out the paper. Okay, yeah, and Peter Jacobs is the CEO of Suncom. And where's that Princeton University grad student? Oh, well, I can't find it. So that was really fun, and I will keep everybody informed. I'll let everybody know if a representative from Suncom comes to the meeting. I think we can work together. I think we can have intelligent dialogue, and I think it's going to be necessary. You know, they can't. It's a very big issue, right? They can't keep abusing fair rights, right? I own the CD. I can do whatever I want. I can press shift key when I use the CD if I so choose. You know, you can't go suing people for that. But protecting copyrights, especially in this digital age, is going to, you know, it's going to be a huge, huge industry, right? So I think the dialogue needs to begin now. Speaking of 2600 meetings, Hack, I think you have an announcement.
Yeah, actually I do. I am starting a 2600 meeting in Morgantown, West Virginia, and of course it's going to be open to anybody, and held on the first Friday of every month. It's a traditional meeting, so the same rules apply.
Very nice. When's the first meeting?
November 7th.
Very nice. And you will you'll let us know how that goes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you sent anything to 2600 about the meeting?
Yeah. Actually, I sent an email, and I got back an automated response. Haven't gotten anything back from a real person yet.
Funny you say that. We actually changed our meeting spot, right? Everybody that goes to meetings at AZ 2600 meetings headed the mails. Well, if you've heard RFA, you heard the story. So we all sent emails in. I sent in that group photo as well. And, of course, what do you get back? You get the automated response. Nobody says, yeah, great. Hey, we've seen the response from you about changing the meeting, right? The communication from you. We'll do it. We'll change the meeting. That's great. Whatever. No, nothing. Automated response. You know, I don't like that. You know, do they even look at the stuff? They say you have to send, you know, you have to send in correspondence saying that, yeah, we had a meeting, it was good, blah, blah, blah. But does anybody read it? Who knows? I don't know. I was a little disconcerting, actually. I didn't really appreciate that. They probably get a lot. I'm sure they get tons and tons of emails. So I guess it's probably not feasible to send a personal response for everyone. So I'll relax. Hack and Slash, if anybody is familiar at all with Hack and Slash, they know that he adores Slackware. He loves his Slack. And I can't blame him. It's a good distro. I have 9 running right next to me right now. I tried Slack 9.1. I tried to put Slack 9.1 on that box. 3 times I tried. And 3 times it failed. Now, that's actually not surprising. This is that cheat box I've talked about many times with the VIA processor, you know, straight from Taiwan. The only thing I've installed on this successfully, Red Hat 7.3, Slack 9, and I think that's it. I can't recall anything else. So I'm not going to bash it for that. But I was a little disappointed. It didn't work. I wanted to check it out. I wanted to use it. But I put Slack 9 on it. I'm very happy. I'll just continue with Slack 9. Slackware 9.1 is a different story. Hack and Slash has been using Slack 9.1, and how do you like it?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It for starters, it's already ready to run the 2.6 kernel. It's got the new module in it, utilities, so you don't have to get those. And it also has Alpha already pre-bundled with ISOs.
Very nice. What kernel does it use?
4.22.
I'm sorry, I speak up just a little.
4.22.
Very nice, very nice. Have you tried 2.6 yet?
No, actually I haven't. I tried to install 2.6 test 4 on my previous Slack 9 install, and it didn't work.
Oh, really? Yeah, we hosed, Bland hosed this box when we tried, was that test 4 or test 5?
We tried test 5, and I got test 6 working.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
It didn't do much, but I got it booted.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, what desktop environment are you using?
I'm currently using Fluxbox.
And that comes with the distribution?
Yeah.
And it's, I'm assuming, fast, friendly?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't say about friendly. It took me about 6 hours to set up, so...
Ouch!
Yeah. With all the thing is, I want all the transparencies and rounded corners and all that. And I had to recompile the whole thing, get a development release, and yeah.
Very cool. Does it have font anti-aliasing?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
I'd like to see, you know what? I would like to see a screenshot of that.
All right. I will send you one.
Yeah, please do, and I'll put it up on Old School Freak. People, you know what? Why is that? I guess I'm weird. I like screenshots. I like checking out other people's boxes, you know? Just the screenshots. I don't go around in other people's boxes looking around. No way. No way. Okay, except Blands. Now,
yeah.
Let's move into Duels Wi-Fi Nuggets. It was going to be Duels Wi-Fi Tips, but Bland thought the nugget sounded better. He likes that word a lot more. You know, a lot more. So, don't you, Bland?
It's a good, healthy American word.
It is. Nuggets. I mean, if I was going to have a porno mag, it would be called Nugget.
Called Drippy Nuggets.
Hairless, drippy, steaming nuggets.
And so, what part of the chicken does the nugget come from?
I don't know. This is all breast meat, baby.
I'm a leg and thigh man, so...
I really... This is straight up all... This is 100% vet-grown breast meat right here. Let's start with nugget number one. Nugget number one kind of goes back to not checking out other people's boxes. Do not, I don't do this, but do not check your pop email at a public hotspot, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Do not do that. Let's move straight on to nugget number two. Nugget number two, actually Rax and I talked about this, and I actually got this from Leet, very Leet, very underground Hacksaw, passed it, thank you, passed it. The Kensington Wi-Finder. It's a little box, it's, you know, credit card size, I guess, a little thicker, and I think it's like $20-$30, and all it is, it's basically, it just finds 2.4 gigahertz signals. That's all it is. Little signal strength meter, I guess, you know, it's just got little lights. I think it's got two or three green lights, and it tells you, you know, how strong the signal is. Everything I've read about it, though, bad, very bad. Like, it wouldn't pick up a signal in the middle of a public hotspot. The lights, that it wouldn't turn on or off. I heard the on and off switch is pretty bad. You know, what do you expect for $20, though? I'd like to try it out myself. I'd like to go to a store and see if somebody has one on display that I could try out. But that's the Kensington Wi-Fi Finder. $20-$30, I guess, you know. If you don't, here's the thing. I think it would be useful. First of all, if it beeps, I don't know if it does. But if it beeps, that'd be rad. If you have to look at the lights, not as good. But very useful if you want to do a little covert war walking, right? You don't have a pocket PC, right, with a compact flash card and mini stumbler. Well, you got this, and at least tell you something's there. So it may be very useful. What I've read, not good, but I will save judgment until I check it out, try it out myself. You know what? I would probably drop the coin on this. Would you? Would either of you guys buy this?
Yeah, I'd buy it just to see if it worked.
Really? How about you, Hack?
Well, first I'd probably look online, see if I can build my own.
Awesome. So you're like Leet in the soldering department?
Not really. No.
Oh.
Can manage.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, here it says $25-$30, whatever. Yeah, try eBay. Here's an ad for it, actually, $20 at warehouse.com. Looks like a little cool device. I might track one down. Nugget number three. Actually, Bland and I were having this problem. Kismet would just keep crapping out. Right, you do the monitor, Kismet monitor, then you run Kismet, and the BAP packet problem would pop up, and it would just scroll error 5. What is it? Writing packets to BAP, something like that. Just scrolling up the screen, and nothing would happen. Really, really annoying. So, went to the KismetWireless.net forums, searched for BAP, and there it was, right there. And I'll give everybody this fix right now. We both use Red Hat 9, and we both have the latest Kismet. And to fix this problem, all you got to do is go to what you have to do is stop your interface from initializing at startup, and this will have an added benefit, and I'll tell you that in a second. So you just comment out, you go to Etsy Hot Plug, and then vinet.agent, and then comment out exec/sbin/ifup$interface. So you comment that out. Again, that line is in Etsy Hotplug net.agent. And when you boot up, your interface will not initialize, right? You'll have to bring it up manually if you want to just use it normally. And you'll have no problems. After I've done that, I've had no problems. I've been using Qismet reliably for a few days now since I fixed that. The added benefit. It's, you know, first of all, if you're like me, you don't always like things done automatically, right? You don't want Windows for everything, right? You don't want your car locking the doors automatically. You don't want it telling you it's time for an oil change. You can do things yourself, for crying out loud. So that's kind of actually an additional benefit that you got to do it yourself, right? Initialize your interface. But before you initialize your interface, this is the original added benefit. You can quote configure your MAC address. That's right. You can type ./MacNinjaPL, right? Perl MacNinjaPL, and configure your MAC address.
Most definitely.
Yeah, very good benefit right there. Nugget number 4. I went and bought. I want an antenna. I've of course got an Orinoco card, and I've got a little 5 dB gain Omni. Dirt cheap off Hyper Technologies. Anyways, CompUSA, as Stank says, CompUSA, now carries a line of Wi-Fi products, 11, B, and G, from Buffalo. That's right, they've got a new product line there. It's not new, Buffalo's been around for a while, but they just started carrying it. And they've got antennas, they've got cards, I don't know what else they have, PCI cards, PCM, CIA cards. And one of the antennas is an indoor directional antenna. Yes, your mind is starting to work already, I can tell. So you take this, and here's the nice part. The connector, it's the MMC, I believe. It's the same as the Orinoco. So all their stuff works. All their antennas work with Orinoco cards. So I went and bought one. I think it's $60, right? A little pricey, but it's nice. It's small. It's got a long cable. Of course, again, the connector works with your Orinoco card. And it works beautifully. Now, I know, am I using it inside? No, I'm not using it. I'm using it when I WarDrive. It's much better than Omni. Omni's good if you just want to see what's around. It's like the little, you know, the Wi-Fi finder. You just want to see what's around. You're not going to find out much else, right? You're going to get stuff from everywhere. This is directional, right? You point it where you want, and that's what you're going to get. Of course, you might get two or three. Here's what happened, right? Here was my first experience with this antenna. By the way, the model is WLE-DA. It's a 2.4 gigahertz indoor directional antenna. I'm using it in my car, sort of indoor. I was sitting in a parking lot, fired up Qismet without the antenna. I had one WAP, right? One WAP in my car. Plugged in the antenna, set it on my dash, pointing straight out of my rig. 4 WAPs right there. Boom. Beautiful, beautiful. I don't quite know the directionality yet. I don't know how good it is. I don't know if the hopping scheme of the Orinoco is fast enough to register stuff. It's like there's a delay, right? So if you move it about 90 degrees, you got to wait a little while and it'll register on the Qismet. If you had like a spectrum analyzer, Rax and I were talking about those actually. That would probably show you the directionality, you know, in real time. But it does work. You can, I don't want to say pinpoint, but you can get what you want a little better. Maybe a lot better with this directional antenna. So I actually highly recommend it. It's a little pricey. I'm sure you can make your own, you know, waveguide, you know, Pringles waveguide, whatever, a lot cheaper. But, you know, pre-made, snaps right in. I think it's a deal you can't beat. If your time's expensive, right, if your time's worth a lot of money to you, this might be a solution for you. Those are the Wi-Fi nuggets. I love Wi-Fi. Do you guys like Wi-Fi as much as I love Wi-Fi?
Oh, I love it.
I know you do, but now Hackett, and you're planning to start messing with Wi-Fi soon, I'm assuming?
I love it. I just can't afford it.
Gotcha. You know, a lot of people can. That's, you know, ghetto driving is good for that. Getting the cheap cards off eBay is good for that. So that's what hacking is about. It's about making do with what you have, straight up. And hopefully we'll have an example of that soon. So should be pretty cool. Let's move on to, one of my favorite things. I got to admit something right now. Can I admit something to you guys?
Absolutely.
Can I get this off my chest? I have, I haven't been freaking much lately. I know, I just haven't. I've been so enamored with Linux. That's all I want to do is play with Linux. That's all I want to do is learn about Linux. Should I be ashamed? Is that wrong?
Not at all. Come home to Jamaica.
Good. Good, because, man, I cannot stop. That's all I want to do is mess around. Me and Bland, we got the late night banging set. That didn't sound good.
Snake's going to take that one.
Yeah, there you go, Snake. Merry Christmas. Late night hacking sessions, exploring each other's boxes. Oh, fuck. Oh, I swore. Oh, no. Oh, well, too bad. Let's get to the freak news.
That's like number 15 of this show, by the way.
What?
You dropped the F-bomb like 4 or 5 times.
You're kidding me. Are you serious?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. Hack, have you heard me swear?
Oh, man.
No. Crap. Oh, man. We were trying not to swear. We weren't going to say anything. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Freak news time.
Yeah, shit you not.
All right. We still got freak news, though, even though I've been messing with that stuff. We still got the freak news. Hell yeah. The first. Oh, my. This is so important. This is a huge announcement. It's a little dated, actually, but who cares? Court rules garbage is presumed private. Oh, no. This is a horrible disaster for freaks everywhere. This is in New Hampshire, by the way. A Concord, a divided state Supreme Court ruled Monday that garbage is private, even when it is placed near the street for collection. Oh, no. Actually, it's more of a joke than anything else. Come on. I mean, no one's going to be dumpster diving right at your neighbor's house unless you want, you know. Oh, dude, I almost did it again. Oh, I can't believe it. I got to do something. Yeah, you know, unless you want their leftovers, their diapers, or their credit card statements, you know, whatever. But, yeah, apparently trash is private, even when it's on the curb. Now, see, when you're dumpster diving, first of all, a lot of the dumpsters you probably hit are what? They're on private property. Maybe inside a fence, maybe inside a locked gate, whatever. Some aren't. Some are in alleys. But, that still might be private property. I don't know. What would that be? Are alleys public?
Yeah, alleys are city property.
Okay, but if a company's dumpster is out in that alley, I'm assuming that's their private property still.
It depends. Some of it you can own and just not develop, and some of it you don't own. Some of it really belongs to the city.
Really? Now, see, I always assume in a dumpster dive that that's their property, and I'm sure that's, you know, I'll play an amateur lawyer right now. I'm assuming that's the case, and that if somebody was to dumpster dive, it would be trespassing. But this, I'd say this, you know, basically seals the deal, right? If your home garbage out on the street is private property, then I guarantee you some company's garbage with a lot more money in pull with the government is going to be private. Next in the freak news, the 944 project. I think it was Vox, and now Kizzle's running it. I got to thank them for the 944 project. I had so much fun scanning those 100 numbers. Go to www.polycat.net/Kyle/944, and you'll get the 944 project page. And basically, hackers and freaks around the nation are scanning the 944 Watts Exchange. They're scanning 10,000 numbers, and I did 100. I think I might do some more if they have another 100 block left. Man, that was fun. I found some good stuff. This pisses me off. I found a number that was 10, like, warbled SIT tones in a row. It was it was great. I should have recorded it. And I called it today, and it's gone. It's a standard error message. That kind of pisses me off. I found some great numbers, though. And I know other people did as well. So check that out, the 944 project at polycat.net/Kyle/944. Would you guys like a gift? I will give a gift. No, Jaga will give a gift to everyone right now. How about a gift? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, please.
Here it is. Jaga, that's right. You've heard him on the show before. You've heard him on Off the Hook. Sent everyone in the community, a gift. A gift to freaks everywhere. And that would be a 120-minute MCI phone card. Hell yeah. Thank you, Jaga. Here it is. Take this down. Got your pens ready? 800-296-3149. Again, that number is 800-296-3149. And the PIN is 214-659-8144. Again, that's 214-659-8144. Thank you very much, Jaga. I need to give him a call and thank him personally. That is so nice. That is so nice. What, you know what? Dude, 84 was worth the wait. With these nuggets, the bukkake, free phone cards. Unbelievable. You want that link, Hack and Slash, by the way? Hack, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you, you're hacking right now, aren't you? That's a yes. That was a yes, he is hacking right now. All right, now we're going to... I think it's time. Wait, I gotta end the freak news. You got any freak news, you guys? Anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, I'm glad I asked. What's up?
Verizon has been fucking me.
No! Oh, it must be important if you said the F-bomb. What's up?
Okay. So, I recently switched to a pseudo-dual plan, which is, you know, unlimited local, unlimited long, three-way, everything, except for, you know, the co-cop man doesn't come to your house to cook your breakfast. I mean, and it's like everything, right?
Right.
I was like, well, you know, hey, tasty. And plus they bundled my DSO in with it.
Good deal.
Yeah, so I was like, well, that's cool. So I get my bill, and my bill is like 200 bones.
Oh, my word. Why?
I'm like... there is a problem, yeah. So I call up Verizon. I'm like, look, you know, hey, you know, what the fuck? And they're like, well, let me see. And they go through my bill, itemizing my bill, and lo and behold, I have been charged for like 7 months of dial-up internet.
What?
Yes, I had been charged for 7 months of, like, back dial-up internet.
Well, you don't even have dial-up internet.
No, I have their DSL.
Right.
What happened was, way back when I signed up for DSL, they put me on complimentary dial-up.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, sweet. So, you know, they said, because they didn't want to leave Mr. Inquisitor without an internet solution.
An internet solution.
Yeah, so they gave me complimentary dial-up. This was like, you know, April, mind you. And so I've been getting charged since April for dial-up. And, you know, so they said they were going to take care of it, call the tech support people, they're going to add to my account the amount of money equal to however much I've paid them for dial-up, and they're going to be taken care of. And the reason my phone bill was so high, by the way, was that, you know, you just starting a new calling plan, and they've got to, like, re-itemize, and, like it's prorated for, like, half a month and stuff like that.
Right.
So I started the plan, and I started making phone calls with reckless abandon to everybody I know in North America. And lo and behold, I still got charged for, like, a couple of those because the billing cycle hadn't reset.
Oh, that's... man, I tell you what, everybody, this should be a nugget from Bland. Document everything when dealing with telcos. Am I correct, Bland?
Yeah, they're not enough people on the phone, but when you hang up, they're laughing.
Hell yeah, dude. Ha ha, that Bland Inquisitor, he is such a not smart guy. Dude.
That's funny.
Straight up, man, you got it, dude, write down. Write down who you talked to, the date, the time, what you talked about, what they said. Always, I've had such things happen to me. You know, I was, you know, they gave me like the number to a ballet school, and I got all their long distance charges. You know, crazy stuff can happen. Document everything, the amounts they tell you. You know, the middle name of the operator's cousin. Everything you can document it and keep track of it.
Record those calls.
Hell, oh, that'd be nice. That would be nice. You got the hard disk space, you know, record those calls. I actually have a file just for Quest, man. Just for Quest. Because I don't throw any of that stuff away, bastards. Okay. Now, are there any good books lately, Hack and Slash?
Oh, actually, I just got a new O'Reilly Pearl book, so I've been reading that.
Which one did you get?
The reference book. I don't remember the exact name.
I've got I have Pearl in a Nutshell, and that's that is a very good book. Very good book. And I believe Bland has... What do you have? You got, like, the CD... What is it, Bland?
I've got the O'Reilly Pearl CD bookshelf.
Now, that's, like, the ultimate right there.
It's, like, 7 books.
Now, it's, yeah, and you get, like, 1 book, and then... Would you get, like, 1 CD with all the books on it or something like that?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of multi-file HTML, and, you know, and then you get Pearl in a Nutshell, like, an actual hard copy.
Very nice. Yeah, that's a very good book. What's it like reading the HTML?
I kind of like it. You get used to it after a while.
Really? I don't know. There's something about... I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know. I mean, of course, I read stuff on the internet all the time, but, to, you know, sit down and read a book like that, I don't know. I just... I do like that feel, and the smell, even.
Yeah. And the crapper portability.
That, too. That, too. Bland has a book review, and a damn good one, and if I'm correct, a damn good book.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good book. It is called Web Hacking, Attack and Defense. And it is a really, really, really good book. I bought it a month or so ago and sat down, read it, learned a lot. They didn't skirt around a whole lot of issues like some other books you buy, and they're like, well, hey, and then in theory you could do this, and then maybe if you had this you could do that. And they were like, no. This book takes actual like sessions and starts out from pretty much selecting a target to carrying it through and, like, you know, scribbling on the web page or, like, you know, downloading some credit card numbers or, all, you know, just everything. And they really, I mean, they don't pull any punches. It's like they're seriously accurate. It's got appendices in it are really good. It's got, like, a list of remote commands, like how to do things in JSP and how to, you know, like how to identify, you know, different servers like Lotus Domino and all that. And just, it's a good book. It's a really good book. I recommend it for anybody.
Sounds good. Do you know how much it was?
It was 60 bones.
Ooh, you're kidding me.
Oh.
Ouch.
I mean, well, $20 cheaper than any book you'd buy for college. It teaches you a hell of a lot more. So there you have it.
Oh, amen to that, man. I have thumbed through that book per your recommendation, and it does look like a phenomenal book. It's, you know, it, I hope this doesn't sound silly, but the layout was good. It looked like it would be easy to read, fun to read just from the layout. You know, it wasn't so packed with small text on every page that it was painful, you know, painful to read. It actually looked ergonomic, I guess would be a good term. And from what I saw, just thumbing through it, actually, of all the books, you know, around it at the bookstore, it was like worn. It was thumbed through so much. I think that might say what kind of book that is. Well, thank you, Bland. I'd like, you know, if I had 60 bones, I would definitely drop it on that book. Yeah, that definitely looks like a good book, and it's black, which is cool.
Yes, yeah, that's the initial draw.
Yeah, straight up. I like black books. Like my freak notebook is black, actually, right now.
Black and white. Kind of like a composition notebook kind of look to it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, now, I think, Bland, we've been torturing you long enough because I know you need this problem solved now. Right now.
Yes.
So let's get on this. Let's, come on, Hack, we have to use our heart and soul to help our friend.
Well, yeah.
Bland's dilemma.
I have a quandary, a conundrum, an enigma wrapped inside a riddle.
And what is that enigma, Bland?
I'm going to be coming into a four-level inquisitor. I'm going to be coming into a decent, you know, chunk of change.
Very nice.
And, you know, I don't mind telling you, because, you know, what the fuck. You guys are here to help.
That's right.
Five bills is what I'm coming into.
Damn.
Yep.
That'll get a lot of hookers, dude.
That's going to buy me lots of Mickey's 40-ounce Hornets.
And Marlboro Lights.
Yes. M9s. Anyway, so I've got some money coming to me that I'm allowed to blow. I've cleared it with the House Finance Committee. She said I may blow it however I choose. And I want a portable electronic device. I don't know. Here's my thing. I'd really like to have an iPod because I really dig MP3s and I'd love to have, you know, 40 gigs of music with me everywhere I went. But I also would kind of like to be able to, you know, put Linux on something, have a little Palm, you know, just kind of mess around, see if I can get something with Bluetooth, maybe learn a little about that, or, you know, just do some 802.11 and keep, you know, a smaller amount of MP3s on there. I mean, I don't really need, my life is not so complicated that I need a PDA, or else I'm going to start, you know, missing appointments and stuff.
Right.
So I don't know if it'd be kind of a waste to get a really decent Palm, just, you know, to blow five bills for the sake of learning Bluetooth. But at the same hand, I really only have about 2 or 3 gigs worth of MP3s that I really, really want carried with me at all times.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I need, you know, I don't really know if I need a nice PDA that I can play around with and mess with and this and that. Put some, you know, put some old NES emulators on there, put a small Linux distro on and really get that cranking. Or if I just need to, you know, get an iPod and use some of its inbuilt functionality and just do with that. And if I need to write an address down, keep that in there and keep all my phone numbers. I know you can, Logan Five wrote an excellent article about the iPod. I know you can keep plain text on the iPod. So, you know, if I needed addresses or names or whatever, I could keep it on, you know, keep it on there. And it wouldn't have the same actual, like, calendar functionality. You couldn't do anything wireless with it. I mean, it's just a really big, big fucking MP3 player, right?
Yeah.
So, that's my problem. I don't know whether I really need an iPod or if I just really want one. And
wow.
I don't know if I really need a, you know, like an iPack, you know, a good PDA, or if I just really want one.
First, what a good problem to have. Now, second, Hack, I think we need to be objective here, because I think I know what I would get. Well, if I may review, Bland, you say you don't need a PDA, but would it be more accurate to say you don't need the PIM functions?
What do you mean?
You don't need to save all the names, addresses, phone numbers, you know, expenses, what else?
I don't need any of that shit at all.
Right, but it sounds like you would like to mess around with maybe some of the other technologies like Bluetooth, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'd like to play with some of that, and I'd like to have, you know, I think it'd be really cool to have just something where I can carry, you know, docs or PDFs or open office documents or something, so that, you know, if I'm in a train station on a public shitter, I can lay down and read some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, straight up. I totally know what you mean. Now, let's review quickly. Do you have a PDA, Hack and Slash?
No.
You don't? Okay. I've had a Palm in the past. Well, let's review some of your options. First, you already said a bunch, you know, iPod, a Palm, a Pocket PC. Of course, you can put Linux on an iPack. Have you considered a straight-up Linux PDA, like LinuxDA.com? I think they're still around. Have you considered that at all, Bland?
I haven't seen that. I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, that's another option to have. VR, there used to be a company, they made one called the VR3, I think. I think there was a couple of Linux PDA companies, you know, and using the Qtopia desktop or whatever. Yeah, what a great problem to have. Here's... Okay, can I give you my advice?
Absolutely.
Okay. You kind of answered, I think, to me anyways, you kind of answered your own question a couple of times. Regarding a PDA, right? Like a Pocket PC or a Palm, something like that. You don't really need all those PIM functions, right?
Right.
But you'd like to mess around with the technology.
Definitely.
You also said that you only got a couple of gigs of MP3s, you know. do you need all that? You know, how, and how much can you listen to at a time, right? You can have 256 megs, you know, in a compact flash or a, you know, an SDIO card, something like that. So you can hold quite a bit, plus the device itself. PDAs have color screens. Some have integrated Bluetooth. Wi-Fi is pretty easy. Mini Stumbler is available, right, if you get a compact flash card. It sounds to me like the PDA might be a little more versatile. It might be a little more fun when you're on the crapper. I think the capabilities, you know, what you can get with software, games, messing around with wireless, messing around with technology, you're going to have a little more to do with a Palm, a Pocket PC, something like that. And then again, that's just personal. I don't want to swage you. I just want to tell you my perceptions, you know, what I got from you know, from you describing your problem. What's your what is your opinion, your advice to Bland Hackenslash?
Well, I am I'm with you here. I say get a PDA like the Zorus. Sharp has the Zorus, and it's awesome. I mean, it has a built-in keyboard, and you know, all pretty much everything you need right there.
Oh, that is a great device. I totally space that. That yeah, that, how much is that? I think that's actually, that might be a little more than $500, like the new ones. I don't know that for a fact, though. But that is a great device. I don't, have you seen one, Bland?
I haven't checked them out.
And that comes with Linux right on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, how cool would that be, you know, to have a little handheld and get a shell? Would that be cool?
That would be tight.
Yeah, you can, I mean, who knows what you could do? Now, those are two views being said. What's your view on the iPod, Bland?
I just really want one.
You just want to, you know, roll with your iPod and your Escalade and, you know, yeah, you know, straight up, they're very cool. They're sexy. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, they are very sexy.
iPods are sexy, yeah, and if you've read Logan Five's article, you can do quite a bit with them. In fact, I believe you said that Linux can go on them, Bland.
Yeah, you can. It's heavily, heavily development, but you can do it.
Wow, now that amazes me. Yeah, I wouldn't know what you could do with that. They are sexy, and they have some now with they have a Windows version and a Mac version, if I'm correct, and if you want to use it with Linux, from what I've read, I did a little research when we talked about it. You want to get the Windows version if you're going to be using it with your Linux box. Is that correct?
Yes.
I believe so. So, using it with Linux will be no problem. You can get it personally engraved, if I'm correct.
Yep. That would be cool.
That would be very cool. That's it. Yeah, man, that's a good problem to have. And I think you've heard our views. I think everybody else, let Bland know. You know, give him the positives. If you got some slick new device that we didn't mention, right, nobody's heard of, you've got the specs on it, send it to Bland, please. Is it Bland or Bland Inquisitor at binrev.com?
Just Bland at binrev.com.
Bland at binrev.com. Send your advice, Bland's Dilemma. Let's help him out as a community. Let's help him out. That was awesome. I'm going to save the game review for another show. Maybe I'll throw in a few, because actually you might have one soon as well, if I'm correct, Bland. So I'm going to save that. Do you do any Linux gaming, Hackenslash?
Yeah, actually I do. Enemy Territory, that's a really good game.
I have been hearing so much about that. Is that
awesome?
Really? And it's now Enemy Territory. Is it based on another game? Is it like a?
Yeah.
It is.
Based on Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay. And it runs well in Linux?
Yeah, actually it does, on my TND2 card with 32 megs RAM.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I should grab that. And they have, is it Source? Do they have RPMs? Where do you get it?
They have a an installer. So I do not think it's Source.
And you run it on a Slack box, I'm assuming? I got to check it out. I know Zapper had it on his laptop last meeting and just loves it. I'm sure I think a lot of people at the AZ2600 meetings play it. And yeah, I might as well give it up. Bland, I think, is going to be messing with it soon. And they have servers, I'm assuming, that you can go play on? Very nice, very nice. Yeah, Shoot, maybe we'll have an Enemy Territory episode. It sounds like it's that good. I gotta check it out. Hack and Slash, thank you very much. You didn't get much in, and I apologize. We had a lot to cover in this show. Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what matters. Bland?
Yes.
I hope your problem gets solved.
Ew.
Yeah, one way or another, it'll be solved, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy. I might have. Hold on. I hold in my hand a portable electronic device, and in an episode of RFA in the future, I will be reviewing it, and hopefully I'll have a little bit of code that everybody can mess around with the technology that's on this little handheld. So, for Hack and Slash and Bland Inquisitor, I am Dual Parallel. This has been RFA 84. A little late, but damn good. Later.